You are now entering the Back in Time podcast.
We came, we saw, we kicked his ass.
Said life was like a box of chocolates.
Keep the change, you filthy animal.
Here are your hosts, Kyle and JD.
Welcome back to the Back in Time podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Autry, joined as always by my co-host, JD. JD, how you feeling, man?
Hootie hootie hoo.
I'm feeling stuffed and fluffed and ready to go.
All right, man. Well, hey, this episode's coming out a little bit later than we wanted it to. We're a couple days into December here, but nevertheless, we're here to talk some Son-in-Law. It's still a fantastic movie and a Thanksgiving staple, so we're looking forward to getting into that. Before we do, though, we want to thank you guys for hitting the download button on today's podcast. You can subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Anchor FM, CastBox, Spreaker, Pocket Cast, and pretty much anywhere else you can download a podcast. You can also follow us on Twitter, Instagram, at Back in Time Pod. And if you want to follow us on Facebook, you can do that by searching Back in Time Podcast. So, JD, before we dive into today's episode, we had a pretty fun little top five about a week ago, top five dishes for Thanksgiving with Paranormal Pat. What was your feedback on our top five episode?
I'm glad to hear that we have many hungry fans out there, and to get some feedback about other dishes that people are cooking, will cook and have cooked, and the crossover between, honestly, the menu for Christmas and Thanksgiving is very interesting to have gotten some love and some creative recipeing. Like there's, yeah. I mean, I definitely heard some people are like, oh, we have this on Christmas, or we don't have that on Thanksgiving. So it was fun. I mean, that was a great episode. So big thanks to Pat.
Yeah, shout out to Pat, and we appreciate him coming on the show. And yeah, and again, if you guys haven't listened to that episode, definitely check it out. And then you can also, if you want the complimentary episode to this full Son-in-Law episode, you can check out our teaser trailer that dropped on Thanksgiving Day. And that's where we talk about the box office and we watch and react to the original trailer, talk about the audience and critic response to the film. So if you want to get some more of that detail, go back into the archives and check out that episode. But yeah, I'm feeling like we should just kind of dive into this one here today, JD. There's not a whole lot of backstory to talk about. It's pretty straightforward movie. So what do you say we jump in the Son-in-Law here?
Yeah, buddy. Let's do it.
Well, life on the farm is kind of laid back. Ain't much an old country boy like me can't hack. It's early to rise, early in a sack. I thank God I'm a country boy. Well, a simple kind of life never did me no harm. Raising me a family and working on the farm. The days are all filled with an easy country charm. Thank God I'm a country boy.
Well, all right, so we're going to begin with the Hollywood Pictures logo. Of course, Hollywood Pictures is a Disney company. Also produced Heavyweights in our archives. Great episode. And we're going to see a very rural community flyover scene here. And we pick up at Lincoln High School graduation, where we meet one of our main characters, Rebecca Warner, played by Carla Gigano. I'm not sure I'm even pronouncing her last name right. But JD, I feel like she's had an amazing career. She really hasn't aged much either. What do you think about her here as Rebecca Warner, the valedictorian?
She's an inspired pick. Like I love her in this role because she brings the rural charm and she becomes the fish out of water that we'll talk about in a little bit. But she always maintains this charm in every scene that she portrays this Warner character in. Like, I don't know. I think she's the right pick.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with that. So let's go ahead and kind of talk about a couple of our other characters here too. So we get a quick little shot of the family. They throw their graduation caps in the air, and we're going to meet Walter, played by Lane Smith. We last talked about him in the Mighty Ducks episode as Coach Riley. And then the mom, played by Cindy Pickett, probably best known to audiences as Katie Buehler from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And then, of course, we've got the little brother, Patrick Renna, forever known as Ham. JD, what do you think about the supporting cast here?
It's a great family. Like, they make a great Plains family because they're, what, they're a Dakota, Wyoming, Utah? Where are they at?
Yeah, they're in a Dakota. I can't remember which one.
It's a Dakota, one of the Dakotas, and not Fanning.
Or Ellie.
Ayo.
Yeah. So Mr. Warner is talking to Rebecca in her bedroom. He's trying to talk her out of going to this college, and he doesn't think he's prepared her good enough for this new life change. And then Dad leaves to go to bed, and Rebecca pulls off her nightgown, and we see her boyfriend is waiting for her outside, and they go to the barn for a makeout session on the hay bale. And looks like he's looking to score here, JD, but he gets shut down by Rebecca. What do you think about the boyfriend, Travis?
This for sure reminds me of a little Scream action, a little Nightmare on Elm Street action of coming through the window and hoping to get a little bang, bang, bangaroo out there. But I don't trust him. As far as I could throw this man, he's up to no good. I don't like his face.
So the next morning they load up the truck. Zach jumps in the trunk and tells his dad he hasn't seen his sister, and you know, maybe she's still in the barn, and they just like smirks. And then we finally arrive at the college here after a bit of driving and really big school. We talked about this on the teaser trailer, Zach's shirt. So I can finally reveal what it actually says, but his shirt says, "Seduce me, please." And that's the first time I've ever noticed that. I was like, that little shit. I like that. And then Mr. Warner tells Zach he needs to help carry stuff or he's not going to Disneyland. And then we enter the dorm rooms, definitely looking like they're co-ed for sure. And then a guy walks by with his towel and it just gets ripped off. And Walter looks at Connie. And he's like, God damn. And says they need to just keep on moving. And they finally make it to a room. Zach just throws the stuff on the floor. Walter's happy that she's across the hall from the resident advisor, which he hasn't met yet. And then he asks Zach for the key, but he says he doesn't have it. So Walter says, you know, sometimes I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice. And Zach turns around with a bra over his ears. He's like, I can't hear you. And then we're going to meet her roommate Carol next. And we're going to get our first clip as Walter is introduced to resident advisor Crawl.
Hello? Anybody home?
Hello?
Hey! I need a screwdriver.
I'm sorry, I'm all out of vodka.
Oh, no. I need to borrow a real screwdriver to open my my daughter's trunk.
Oh, you have a daughter. Is she hot?
What?
Don't worry. I'll keep a special eye on her for you. My name's Carl. And I'm the resident advisor.
Oh, shit.
What? Hey, wait, come back. Don't leave me hanging.
JD, what do you think about our intro to Crawl?
Crawl is all over the wall. It's like a Hank Hill moment. Obviously, I'm knee deep into watching King of the Hill right now, but the way he's just like, dang it, what are you talking about? He's just so like, he himself is a fish out of water, and he's in this new pond. And Crawl is his dungeon master, and it just makes his skin boil and crawl. It's just so fun to watch how uncomfortable he gets.
Yeah, and this is now going to be our second Pauly Shore movie. We last talked about him in Biodome. And what do you think about him here as Crawl? A little bit of a different character. And, you know, it's really your second time digesting Pauly Shore. I know you're not the biggest fan.
So your question is, how did I get to be so awesome?
Sure. Yeah.
Little Office reference there for you, Kyle.
No, I caught it.
You're good man. Good man. That's why we're friends. I like Pauly Shore a lot more in this. There's moments throughout this movie where my blood boils and I just want to punch the TV screen because I'm like, stop being such a D-bag. But I think that's the point of it. And I think that point resonates more in this movie than it did in Biodo.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, let's keep on going. So the roommate comes back in with her friend and we quickly find out they are not just friends. And the two ladies start making out. Zach stands up and he's like, oh, Dad, you have your camera handy? And then outside, Walter tells Becca that if she doesn't like this damn place, just let him know. So Crawl is on the crawl in the next scene here, and he's got his handheld camera, and he says he smells fresh meat. So he pulls out a tool to open the trunk for her, and that's when she reveals that she's from South Dakota, so that answers our question from earlier. And he's like, oh, inbred. She's definitely not comfortable and leaves for class. And then Rebecca calls Travis on the payphone next, and he looks like he's about to head home from work. And she's like, I miss you. And, you know, basically just, you know, he's kind of reminding her that, you know, it's California. You gotta give it time to warm up. And, you know, he's being supportive boyfriend here. So what do you think of this scene?
Still don't trust him. He's being supportive for something, some nefarious plot, but it's cute to see the little moments that the two of them share and the high school relationship and intimacy that they thought that was important to them. And as we will see how that unfolds or doesn't unfold, Kyle, to be continued.
Okay. Well, we got a really cool little cameo here. I've watched this movie half a dozen times. I don't know that I've ever really caught the cameo until this watch through. So Crawl enters this Halloween room that's all done up, and he's got a fruit basket on his head, and he doesn't speak, but he does pass Brendan Fraser, and Brendan Fraser just looks at him, grabs a frog off of Crawl's outfit, holds a lighter to it, takes a bite, and walks off. So it's not said, it's not really implied, but this is definitely a cameo from the hit Encino Man from 92. It's definitely Fraser's same character. And then Crawl just looks at him like he knows him and then just says, nah, and walks off. Did you catch this cameo, JD?
I gotta say no. I don't know how this has flown under my radar. And even in rewatching it, I should have been like you. And I should have known that, biatch.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a 20-second scene, if that. It's like real quick. So if you're not looking for something, you could easily miss this cameo here, but I really liked it. I guess we haven't really talked about this. I don't remember if Encino Man's on our master list or not. I don't remember if you're a fan of the movie. Do you think that's a future episode?
Oh, definitely a future episode. Not as summer goes by, nay, a year that I don't think, hey, I got a shovel. I got a friend. Let's go dig a pool in the backyard.
I love it. Put it on our list. So in the dorm room, Becca is a little irritated with her roommates when she finds her horse doll from back home has been smashed and broken. So she storms out of the room and Crawl sees her in the hallway. She tells him that she's leaving and Crawl kicks everybody out of the room and tells them that the party's over. He wants to know what she's missing here. And Crawl shows her a photo from his freshman year where he looks like a total nerd. And she's like, what happened? And he explains that he tossed the spectacles and he started chugging some brews. And then he tells her that he's been at school for 6 years. He's majored in almost everything. And Becca says that she appreciates what he's doing, but she just doesn't fit in here. And he's like, well, how would you know? You've never actually been here. So you're still back home. And basically, he talks her off the ledge here. JD, what do you think about this kind of first serious moment of the movie?
I think that it's skilled writing, which you probably don't often hear people talking about in Pauly Shore movies. Well, it's expected, but at the same time, it makes sense, and it's just a very logical scene.
Sure. So Carl's going to take Becca out on the town and give her a wardrobe change, and then he's going to change up her hair, cut it short. He changes it to blonde, which I'm more of a fan of the dark, but potato patina, whatever we want to say.
Potato patina? Kyle has Tina on the mind. Shout out to Tina, whoever you are.
Wow. So they're going to get some tattoos next, and we're going to get another awesome cameo here. We're going to get Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers, who is the tattoo artist whose line here is, "You pick it, I stick it." So we saw Flea last in Back to the Future. Now we get him here in another cameo role. JD, what do you think of Flea?
He's such a great little... He I don't want to insult him because I know he's listening.
Sure.
But he himself is a flea in this scene, and he's Flea, but he doesn't flee. Do you get what I'm getting at? He's just like this little gnat on the wall of greatness. I'm just like, oh, yeah, look, there's Flea. It's like Anthony Kiedis' part in Point Break.
Sure.
You're just like, holy shit, there's Anthony Kiedis. Oh, okay. Future episode. Fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. So Crawl is checking out the ladies at the beach with his binoculars, and then we cut to some mud wrestling at the local bar. Becca gets up and goes over to the DJ and puts Crawl in the ring. His name, Resident Advisor. Good wrestling name. Crawl thinks it's going to be some hot girl he's going to wrestle. Instead, he gets giant Bertha-looking lady. It's like classic 90s female wrestling villain. He tries to get out of the ring, but he ends up losing to Thumper, as she's known. JD, what do you think of the mud wrestling match?
I never understood mud wrestling. I've never seen it outside of movies. Have you ever been to a mud wrestling match, Kyle? Go.
I have not. I would love to, though. I would be interested to see if it's actually entertaining.
I just don't understand it. There was a place near college, if you recall, I forget the name of the bar, but at least my freshman year, they may have shut it down my sophomore year when you came in.
Okay.
But they did Jello wrestling.
Ooh.
I never went. I never saw it, but I know that they did it.
I feel like that's something that I would have definitely gone out of my way to check out at some point, so I'm going to say it was definitely gone.
Yeah, it was that bar on the way to Coyote Canyon.
Oh, okay. Yep, I know where you're at.
Yeah, they had the big bear sign, and it was like a big Chicago bear bar. But anyways.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Well, Becca gets a call from Travis next. She doesn't recognize his voice, but clearly at this point, she's kind of a different person. Some time has passed. She's got this new persona, and he says that he will be coming to the airport with her parents, and they've got a lot to talk about. And Becca's just like, oh, yeah, we sure do. Becca says that she will see him tomorrow, and he's like, all right, love you. And she just hangs up the phone. She goes over to Carl's room, and he lets her know that his Vegas trip has been canceled, and he's just going to hang here. He's going to spend some time eating some Hungry Man dinners, and Becca stops at the doorway and thinks twice about letting him stay there by himself, and she says that she has a better idea and puts away his Hungry Man meal. So we get to the airport. The plane lands. Zach holds up a sign that reads, "Go home, Becca." Which, when they slap him in the back of the head, he flips it over the "Welcome home, Becca." And then the plane door opens, and Becca yells, "Oh, what's up, buddy? Check it out. It's the Weaselware." And she calls her parents, Connie and Walter, not mom and dad. And the family gets introduced to Crawl, who goes over to Zach and pinches his cheeks and says that she never mentioned a younger sister, which makes Connie gush a little bit. JD, what do you think about the family's first impression of Crawl here?
Oh, there's no way they like him. They have to hate him. And I watched the scene from the family's perspective, and to see, you know, as we're adults now, whether you like to admit it or not, I mean, you've got children's.
Yeah, I refuse to admit it. Still a kid.
But at the same time, one day your baby girl is going to go off to college and come home with a crawl.
Yeah, easy crotch.
But that's how I watched this scene. And I was just kind of like, from the parent's perspective, to be like, oh my gosh, my daughter has just done everything wrong in the world.
Right. Hilarious. No, I love that. So Walter, I stole his line here, but yeah, he calls him crotch in the next scene. And then he tells him he's going to be sleeping up in Zach's room. And then we see Zach in the background waving no. And then Carl sees some chickens and he wants to know if they're original or extra crispy. And he takes off just clucking after him. And Grandpa's like, good God almighty. And he tries to enter the pen, but he's stopped there by Theo. And he tells Carl that if he enters, old Samson's going to have his way with you. Meanwhile, we cut to Travis, who has Becca to the barn, where they like to spend a lot of time, apparently. And he immediately steps in a pile of cow shit. And then we cut back to Crawl, who's talking to the grandpappy. And he doesn't think he can hear him, so he's yelling at him, basically. He's like, I'd like to whittle some wood with you sometime, huh, buddy? And then Grandpa just spits out some chew on Carl's foot. And he's like, oh, sticky. And he tells him, he's like, all right, well, I'll see you later. JD, there's a lot going on here. A lot of moving parts. What do you think of this scene?
I like the way that we're being set up with the different characters, their character abilities, their traits, their personalities. And I particularly love Grandpapa with his stick. And he's just whittling wood, and like, he's, I think, in this movie an underrated character.
Yeah,
and he has some great scenes coming up.
Yeah, he really does. And we're gonna get another great scene here where Zach is up in Crawl are up in his room, and Crawl enters with one of the largest sandwiches I've ever seen. And Crawl sees Zach's computer. He's like, wow, the 2CGX, look at this. Zach runs over to stop him. And he's like, maybe now is a good time to go over some of the rules here. Rule number one, don't touch anything. Carl's like, well, what's rule number two? Zach's like, that's it. There's only one rule. Don't touch anything. Carl's like, all right, I get it. So we go back to the barn. Travis wants answers on Crawl. He wants to know who this guy is. And Becca explains he's just a friend. She didn't want to leave him at school all alone. And Travis starts to confess his love for her and then gets down on a knee. And Becca just about faints and tells him that she's worn out from the plane ride. He's like, oh, no problem. You know, go take a nap. We've got all week. JD definitely looks like Travis is about to pop the question. I know you don't trust him, but his intentions seem pretty good at this point.
Yeah, no, I still don't trust him. It reminds me, you know, I look at this character. He's hasn't gone anywhere with his life. He's staying in the little town. It reminds me of Freddie Prinze Jr.'s character. Oops, not Freddie Prinze. I know what you did last summer.
Yeah, yeah. Ryan Phillippe.
There we go.
Yeah. Great. We've got another clip here. So let's get to the scene here where Crawl is not a dummy. Well, we, at least we find out he's not a dummy.
See that?
Loading.
Ta-da!
It's gone. How'd you do it?
Your PC got harshed, right? Because your system heap sent the wrong parameter. So I toasted the data directory, tweaked the PRAM, and reglazed your subroutine.
How'd someone like you get into computers?
Grew up at Caesar's Palace, right? Vegas, you know, gambling, cones, the whole package, right? Didn't have any friends. So I just pounded away on the old keyboard for a couple years, solo mission.
So you're just an old hacker like me, but disguised as an idiot.
Yeah.
So, JD, who would have thought, man, Crawl's a hacker?
He's just a hacker and a cool dude. But, howdy.
I really love the line from Zach here. He's like, so, you're just an old hacker like me, disguised as an idiot. Cross is like, yeah, sure. Just goes along with it. And immediately Zach's like, no, this guy's cool now. Now he's interested in him.
Now we are a tribe.
Yep. So Becca comes in to talk to Crawl, and Zach reveals that he's a subscriber to Playboy before he exits the room. And then Becca tells Crawl that Travis and his plan to propose. And she tells Crawl that she can't see herself settling down. And at this point, she's like, I don't want to hurt him. And Crawl's like, well, just remember, the longer you wait, the more it's going to hurt. And then Crawl wants to a little country makeover. So he wants a little bit of her style and a little bit of the Wii style mixed together. So we're going to cut to the downtown area for some rustic wear, where we pass a couple guys sitting on the bench, and Crawl's like, inbreeders, just walks past them. And then we bump into Tracy next, played by Tiffany Amber Thiessen, best known to everybody as Kelly Kapowski from Saved by the Bell. JD, I don't know, I think I'd have to put her as maybe my number one crush when I was like a little kid watching Saved by the Bell.
Buddy.
What do you think about her here as Tracy?
I feel like in this movie, she's underused, and we'll get into the impact that she plays to the overall narrative later on. But I think, I mean, she's good in this. She's good in Saved by the Bell, and she's good in The Ladies' Man.
She is very good in The Ladies' Man. Love it. All right. Well, they're out to dinner next. Crawl enters, and everyone's tops and stares. I don't even know how to describe his outfit, so I'm not going to even try. Crawl calls them real people. Down home cooking people. And he says that he was feeling out of place, but now he's feeling like he's part of this place. And Walter's like, oh crap. And Zach corrects him. He's like, no, it's Crawl. He's like, oh yeah, Crawl. What time of name is that? And Crawl's like, well, I got it freshman year because that's how I always got home. And Zach spills the beans on the tattoo that Becca has on her leg. And before they can even yell at her, Travis taps his glass and starts to give a speech to the entire restaurant. He finally gets it out, and Rebecca is asked if she's going to marry him. And she looks at Crawl for help and kicks him. And then Crawl stands up. He's like, I just wanted to say something. You're too late, buddy. A couple weeks ago at school, I asked Beck to marry me, and she said yes. And Travis is pissed. He storms out. And then Crawl goes over to the parents and calls them mom and dad and says, maybe now's a good time to start thinking about a bachelor party. And he's like, excuse me. JD, obviously Travis hurt, mad, storms out, ends up punching Crawl in the face here, right in the nose. What'd you think about this scene and kind of the storyline that's being set up?
It's very convenient for, you know, the characters in the storyline, but at the same time, it's very kind of jarring and substantial, and you're just kind of like, you've got a Frank Wrench thrown into the equation here. And I personally did not remember this scene.
Yeah,
like I remember subsequent scenes, but like at the same time, I was just like, oh yeah, like that's kind of a big effing deal,
right? No, for sure. In the next scene here, obviously Becca, this was not her idea. She's pissed at him. She's like, what were you thinking? And he's like, you kicked me and you wanted me to help, and this is what I came up with. And then we cut inside the truck, and Zach's like, what do you think their kids are going to look like? And the mom and dad are just terrified. Boing. And then we get back to Becca, and she tells him that they need to ride this out for 2 weeks and stay engaged. And Crawl agrees and asks for some tongue, and then she smacks him in the nose again. So Crawl's 0 for 2 here with getting punched in the face. So Theo tells Crawl in the next scene there he can smell his city stink a mile away. And then Grandpa turns him down on the wood whittling for a second time. Inside, Becca talks to her mom, who's questioning her on if she's pregnant. And then she walks, and then Walter, we cut to him outside, Walter and Theo, and they're going to show Crawl what working a 9-to-5 is all about. So the next morning at 5 a.m., the rooster's crowing, Theo comes to wake him up, and then we get this montage next of Crawl working on the farm. He's putting grain in the troughs, he's getting leveled by a pig, he gets a tractor lesson, which doesn't go well because he runs over the fence, then he's trying to milk a cow unsuccessfully. And we get to him in the kitchen, And he says, you know, this barnyard stuff is not as easy as you would have thought. He's like, I haven't found my groove yet. Walter's like, well, I figure lost about $1,000 today because of him. And then he says that he stinks to high heaven. I lost my appetite. So Walter and Connie start fighting back and forth. And then Carl says that everything that Becca told him about how great her family was, and when he got here, you know what? She was right. And it's obvious that he's the problem. And they all sit there and stare at him. And Walter finally caves and he's like, all right, you can stay, but you know, I'm pretty sure what's going on. You're going to give up on the work. And then Carl's like, no, man, I'm going back to work tomorrow. And then Zach even says he's going to help him out. So, JD, another kind of long scene here, but what'd you think?
I like the scene because it seems like it's written from a place of, you know, knowledge, somebody that knows a farm, somebody that knows the sort of family dynamic and how like a little brother would actually act and how Crawl would be this fish out of water for sure. Like it's to me, it's just, it's interesting and it seems very authentic.
Definitely. So we get a second work montage, and this time Crawl definitely seems to be finding his groove. The rollerblades idea here was brilliant, where he pours out the grain, and then he finds this big red tractor, and it's covered by this massive cover, and he goes inside, puts on a little John Denver, thank God I'm a country boy, and starts it up, and then Walter and Theo see it. They start chasing after him. Walter mentions that's a $250,000 machine, and they're just running after him. He asks Theo what the boy's name is again, and Theo's like, ah, hell, I don't know. He answers the asshole sometimes. And then inside the machine, Crawl's cutting some corn and just singing some tunes, and then a plane flies over, and we see he's carved out the name Crawl in the crop. A little cheesy. But I like it, JD. What do you think of this scene?
It is cheesy. And like at the same time, you have to wonder, is Crawl really as dumb as he looks, or is he as smart as he appears? Which one is he? He's like playing two different characters, is he not?
Yeah. Yeah, he definitely is disguising himself as an idiot most of the time. But yeah, it appears he's a little smarter than he puts on. Now, in the next scene, he's going to accidentally confuse Connie with Becca and give her the old goose. And then when he sees it's actually Connie, he's like, I'm sorry, but you're giving me a semi-hard right now.
Oh, jeez.
And then he wants to know why she doesn't wear as much makeup. And he says that she's a peach on a windowsill. And he tells her that she's got a decent base, but you know, a lot to work with. He asks for 5 minutes to do a few things. And they go, I guess she caves in, and then they go bar dancing, do a little bit of line dancing, I should say. Crawl enters first and introduces the new Connie, and Walter goes over, and he's like, wow, what'd you do? And then a younger guy comes over, he's like, you want to dance? Walter's like, hell no, get the hell out of here. And then he tells her that he actually likes it a lot, her new upgraded look, no more plain Jane Connie. And then Crawl says, check out the wood I created for him, as they're dancing on the dance floor there. Yeah, a lot of innuendos here. Travis tells Crawl that he's going to throw him a bachelor party, and he's going to pick him up tomorrow night. And Crawl's like, cool, man. Gives him a hug. Travis and Tracy talk by the bar, and Tracy reveals that they slept together the other night and asked if he's coming over again tonight. So we knew he was bad, JD. You called it. And then Crawl's going to go upstage, grab the mic, and he just starts singing. He's like, if your gal is finger licking, go ahead and do the funky chicken. And then they eventually crowd surf. I love that the other lead singer comes on and tries to do the same thing and just biffs it right on the ground. But he's definitely got a way with people. I mean, what do you think of this scene?
To me, this particular scene really took me out of the movie. Like it was from like a writing standpoint. You have your fish out of water, somebody that's not accustomed, and it's a great setup because you have her going out to California where she's not accustomed to their ways. Now you have Crawl coming back to the Dakotas where he's not accustomed to their ways. And then you have this scene where it's like nobody in their right mind would actually respond the way that they were. He would just get his collar pulled and thrown off stage.
Right.
I don't know. No. I didn't like it. That, to me, it was too cheesy.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, they get home from line dancing. Walter and Connie go up to bed. Clearly, we know what they're up to. Walter's way too excited. And then Crawl and Becca almost kiss here, but old Grandpappy says, "Don't mind me. Nobody else does." And Becca's like, "All right, I'm going to go up the bed." And Crawl takes another crack at whittling wood. And Pappy finally caves. Crawl says that he majored in wood sculpting second freshman year, which I found that was a hilarious line. Two freshman years. So the next morning, Becca and Connie are in the kitchen. Becca says, "It sounded like you and Walter were getting busy last night." That creeped me out. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, weird line. Good.
Crawl enters and appears to grab Becca's butt on the way by. And then he tells Becca that Zach loaned him a Playboy and poisons have left the building. And she left, and that's basically because she left him hanging last night. And then Walter comes in and gives Connie the old goose from behind. And he's like, "Having a good day?" And she just jumps up and screams. And Walter's like, "All right, I'm going fishing." Crawl invites himself along. Walter caves in. And family seems really happy here. There's a moment where Zach and Becca are playing a Game Boy and getting along. Connie seems happy. What would you think of this scene, JD?
It's peaceful. Like, it's a good slice of life scene coming off of the butt grabbing and the canoodling and all right. of that.
The innuendo.
Yeah. It's just, I think, a good sense of showing the importance of having somebody like Crawl in your life.
Well, they are fishing next. Pappy and Walter start arguing, and Walter says he doesn't want to have this conversation. And Pappy leaves and says, "If it's room you want, it's room I'll give you." And then Crawl and Walter talk next, and Walter says his dad's always gotten down on him about the way he does things. And Crawl's like, "Kind of like how you get down on Zach for the way he does things too, huh?" And Walter's like, "What the hell asked you anyway?" But he agrees that, you know, he's like, "Well, you talking about them stupid computer games he plays all day?" And Carl's like, "Nuh-uh, those aren't stupid games to him. It's what he's into. He's not asking you to do it, is he? He just wants some room too." And then we cut to Pappy, who's clutching his chest and falls to the ground. Walter runs to the truck to grab something, and Carl's like, "All right, assess the situation. Okay, CPR. Tilts his head back, plugs the nostrils, and goes in to administer mouth-to-mouth. Pappy screams and sits up, and Walter comes by to give him a pill. Turns out he's definitely not having a heart attack or choking. And then they arrive back home, and the ladies run to check on Pappy, who's visibly shaken. And Walter says to Crawl, "I want you to know, really appreciate what you did for my dad back there." And then Becca wants to know what he did, and Crawl's like, "We need to talk." And he wants to come clean to the family. He likes them. He's like, "I like them a whole bunch. And, you know, I bonded today. And I don't want to lie to them. And I don't want to hurt them." And Crawl basically gives her the ultimatum that she's either going to tell him or he's going to do it for her. So, JD, what do you think of this scene?
Crawl has many dimensions to him, doesn't he?
Sure does.
And it's, like, unexpected. Like, you think, or at least in my remembering of this movie and rewatching this movie, I'm like, "Oh, Crawl is skeezy mofo." But he actually has a conscience to him. He's got heart. He's got, like, the sense of right and wrong. And he realizes that the situation that they're in is no good, and they have to do right by her family.
Right.
And she doesn't realize it because she's kind of a B-word.
Whoa, easy now. So next, Theo comes over the Crawl, or City as he calls him, and tells him it's time to pick out that Thanksgiving turkey, and he sends him into a cage with a knife, and Crawl just runs from this turkey and says, he's like, "It was Theo that made me do it." And eventually he just lets out this loud, like, "Ah, woo!" And the turkey just falls to the ground and, like, has a heart attack. So inside, Crawl is trying to explain how the turkey just, like, passed out and fell over. And Pappy's like, "Maybe you should try and give it a kiss." And they all start laughing. And he finally goes to pull a feather out, and the turkey comes to life. And then outside we hear a car horn, and Carl's like, sorry, my ride's here, gotta go. So we get to the bar. Carl is chugging his first beer. We see Theo's there as well, and he goes to refill his glass for him and puts a couple pills in the drink. Carl gets up to do some singing. He's going to rock some John Denver. And then Tracy appears and pulls the plug on the jukebox, and she asks if they're ready for some real entertainment. And she starts dancing for the guys. Carl starts to do, he starts to see some double vision. And as she's dancing in front of him, he just passes out. And Tracy's like, well, I was just getting started. What the heck? So Travis gives her a drink and tells her to chug it. And she wakes up the next morning, and they're in the barn together. So we'll get to that in a second. But JD, what do you think about our little plot twist here?
I wish there was more of a setup about it. And like, you can tell that they're scheming on him, yeah. But there's no like alternate scene, or maybe there is, buried deep in the annex and annals of society, where the two of them are sort of like, hey, this is no good. We need to get back at Crawl. Because we see, the last we see old Top, he's punching Crawl in the face. And then he's like, oh, you know, I screwed up. Let me throw you a bachelor party.
Right.
And so we've got no inclination to not believe in what he's doing. And the payoff is one thing, but the setup's not there.
True. Yeah, no, I totally understand where you're coming from. It definitely feels rushed, and it's almost like they're like, okay, let's get to the end of the movie. And like all the development just stops at that point. So, all right, well, we get to the next morning. Theo enters the breakfast room here, grabs some coffee, and Zach's like, you know, Carl never came back last night. Theo's like, might want to check the barn. Thought I heard some huffing and puffing out there last night. Becca Lash is like, oh, Carl. So she makes her way out to the barn to find Crawl and Tracy under some sheets together. She pours out her drink on the ground and says sorry, and then Crawl and Tracy wake up from the noise, clearly both very hungover. Crawl's like, no, wait, it's not what you think. And he chases her back into the house, and he says that he was at the bar, he had a drink, he did some karaoke, and then he woke up. And she's like, I can't believe you, you're a hypocrite. And Carl accuses her of not telling the truth to anybody and says he doesn't even want to be her friend. So they agree to break up their fake engagement. And then we cut to Tracy talking to Travis outside as she's gotten into her car. And she's like, I just woke up in a barn and I can't remember anything. And Travis is like, well, I'll tell you what happened. You and Carl were all over each other last night, and you can take the rest from there. And Tracy's crying now, and Travis is like, I thought I knew you better than that. You're so low. JD, what do you think of this scene?
Dude, guy is no good.
I know.
He is the worst, right?
He's a great bad guy. Gotta give it to him.
Yes, he is an underrated great bad guy.
I wanna know what that guy's up to nowadays. How many more bad guy roles did he get after Son-in-Law?
Hopefully all of them.
Should have. All right, well, Zach and Crawl are in the bedroom next. Zach says, you know, believe it or not, I was actually looking forward to being your brother-in-law. And he tells Crawl if he finds a baby-faced nug out in Cali, send her my way. And Crawl's like, all right, well, let me give your cheek one last squeeze. Gives him a cowboy hat and leaves him with his bag. And we see Tracy driving down the road when she finds a bottle of pills, like, under her seat, just randomly. She's like, reaches down, she's like, pills, turn around, and just heads back to the house. And on her way, she finds Crawl on the side of the road with a sign that says Hollywood please, and she tells him to get in, they need to talk. So Travis is at the Thanksgiving dinner table here. He stands up to once again propose to her when Crawl appears, and he says, Walter, you got to hear this one. And Tracy enters and says, well, I woke up in the bar this morning and I didn't remember anything. And now, Travis, you told me I drove out here last night with Crawl, but when I got in the car this morning, the seat was so far back I couldn't reach the pedals. And then I found these sleeping pills. And Walter's like, now what the hell is going on here, Theo? And Theo comes clean to Walter that he was involved. He's like, hell, Walter, I just thought it was a joke. And we took these two out there in the barn, and we didn't think everyone was going to get so mad about it. Let's listen to our last clip as Grandpappy rips into Travis.
Oh, now, wait a minute. You can't really believe
you. Wait a minute. I got to tell you, Travis, it really tweaks my melon to see a buff bro like Carl here get wheezed on by a greasy scumbag like you. So you just chill.
No. Travis, you just get out.
Hey, you can't talk to me like
no,
that.
No, but I can't.
Good!
Majored in karate for 2 semesters.
JD, what do you think of this scene?
Fierce hometown loving. Sweet! Grandpappy brings the thunder.
Yep.
Does he
so
not?
So does Walter, too. There's a great moment there, I think, where he's like, now, Theo, now take your fat ass on out of here. You're fired.
I love it. It's just, to me, like, I think this movie vacillates between, like, really cool moments where I think the writing team and the production team and the director kind of nail it for a movie from the 90s with Pauly Shore. And then there's moments where they kind of just drop the ball and they're like, hey, convenience says, check under your seat for the pills. So I think it really lacks the proper buildup and payoffs, but you know, much like masturbating, the payoff is always worth
it. I knew you were going there. Like, as soon as you start saying the line, I go, here comes a line where he says something about masturbating a lot. God, you never fail. I agree with everything you're saying. Definitely, the story's a little jumbled, but I think it works. It ends well. We kind of get this little family photo at the end, and Crawl's like, everyone say cheesy! And the movie ends, and the credits roll. So, I mean, JD, overall, I mean, the movie's now 27 years old. It's a Thanksgiving staple, something I love watching every year, anytime I get a chance to see it. How do you think Son-in-Law has held up over time?
I love it, but you have to be from this time period to watch it and enjoy it. If any of our younger audience, if you are the first time, you're not familiar with Pauly Shore, and you're like, hey, yeah, let me watch Son-in-Law, let us know what you think, but I'm guessing you did not like it.
Yeah, it's tough, because if you don't understand the Weasel character, it's going to be really tough to like enter this in 2020 and not think that he's being really annoying with his whole shtick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it would be like catching, what's that comedian? It's got such a weird name too. It starts with a G. He's got that. He had like that comedy bit in the 80s and 90s where he was always like super loud.
Oh, George Lopez.
No. Bobcat Goldthwait.
Oh,
so like that's kind of how I consider Pauly Shore. Like, he was like the next Bobcat, because Bobcat was right before him. And then Pauly came in. He's got the whole Weasel thing and MTV. And, you know, turns out that like his mom owns the comedy store, and like he's been doing comedy his whole life, you know, was babysat by all these massive comedians. Like, his babysitter growing up, no joke, was Sam Kennison.
Jeez.
Like, that's who he grew up with. Richard Pryor, like all those guys. So yeah, I think it's definitely it's a time period thing. And I mean, even the marketing for this, like the poster is, it says the duck, the pig, the cow, the weasel. Pauly Shore is the son-in-law. Like, that's the marketing for this movie.
Home run.
I want to see more Pauly Shore. I know he's got a new movie out. I do want to check it out. I know it's not a big budget movie, but I'm interested to see if he can still bring it on screen.
I bet he can.
Yeah, I feel like he kind of I've heard some interviews with him where he's like, he feels like he was kind of treated unfairly by Hollywood. Like, he had these hits and like he churned them out, he made a bunch of money, and at some point they were just like, okay, we're done with you. Like, there was never like a second chance for him to do anything other than those couple roles, and then they just chewed him up, spit him out.
Yeah, but is that not the machine of Hollywood in a nutshell? It does the same thing to Martin Short. It did the same thing to Will Ferrell. Look at Vince Vaughn.
Corey Feldman.
Corey, exactly. Like, there's an agenda, not to get into conspiracy theories, but there is an agenda, and each agenda has a time period, ticking time clock to it. It's a time bomb.
Okay. Well, that's going to wrap it up for Son-in-Law. Now, we will be back in a couple of days to talk about our plans for December and how we're going to close out the end of the season for us as we take a little bit of a break, recharge the batteries up for January. So be on the lookout for that. Again, make sure you hit that subscribe button, especially if you're watching this or listening to this on YouTube. Hit the subscribe button. Make sure you turn on your notifications every time we upload a new episode or an interview or a Virgin Watcher episode, which we need to do more of. You're going to get all of those videos right away. That's the best way to help us and support this podcast as well. But for now, we'll go ahead and jump back into the DeLorean. We'll go from 1993 back to the mess that is 2020. We'll hope that this year ends very quickly and we turn the page here and look to a brighter 2021. Thanks for listening. See ya.
Hey, buddy.
Play Sally Gooden all day if I could, but the Lord and my wife wouldn't take it very good. So a fiddle when I can.